Good morning. Well, welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, and thank you for coming out to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on this beautiful sunshiny day. So hope when you leave today you'll get out and have some fun in the sun. Several announcements. First, you can take your red pad, sign it, pass it down. And if you have any information changes like telephone, cells, email addresses, you can fill that out on the I Wish card and drop these in the offering plate, and I'll get it a little bit earlier. Our deacons meeting this Sunday or next Sunday? That's what I thought. Deacons are meeting next Sunday. And then on July the 7th, they're having a lemonade fellowship, Deacon Lemonade, First Deacon Fellowship Lemonade and Cookie Sunday. I see what you mean now. I'll be out in front of the church, and that should be a lot of fun, and people passing by can say, hey, they're doing something out in Glenshaw Valley. Maybe I'll stop in. Vacation Bible School, July the 15th through the 19th, from 6:30 to 8:30. And BJ informs me they still need helpers, so you can talk to BJ or Kathy Segi, and I believe there's still a sign-up sheet on the table in the back. Sunday school, choir practice, and junior church are not meeting during the summer. They'll resume in the fall. And we want to thank everyone that participated in all those programs. You really make the life of the church here at Glenshaw Valley so much better. Remind you, as always, the library is open right through here with a speaker. If it's not plugged in, you can plug it in by the TV. If you get in a coughing fit or anything, or if you have a baby crying, you can go through there. And we like to remind people every once in a while that our restroom's through here, and there is a baby changing table in the restroom on the right. BJ also has Shop for a Cause tickets, and you can speak to her about that. And that is for Macy's, correct? And you buy one for $5? $5 in August 24th, and when you purchase the $5, you get a discount shopping, and the $5 goes directly to our church. So it's a nice thing, especially if you shop at Macy's. On your bulletin this morning, you'll find a trifold brochure with information about our church. This pamphlet is designed for visitors and people who may not know about our church. We have extra copies, so please feel free to share these pamphlets with friends and neighbors, and especially with enemies. We would like people you don't get along with to come to church, and you'll start liking each other and have a good relationship. The Church Growth, Church Life team will be holding their kickoff meeting after church on July the 14th. This team will be working on ways to grow and retain church membership. If you'd like to be part of this team, please join us on July the 14th. If you have questions about this team, please contact Shawnee. And if Shawnee here, just raise your hand if you might not know her. And if you want to be a part of that, please talk to her. If you missed any announcements, didn't hear what I said, you always feel free to come talk to me. And we've been taking in some new members this year. I had a new members class Wednesday afternoon. Three prospective members are very excited about it. So I'm asking session if you can meet in my office next Sunday at 10, those of you who can. And then if everything goes according to plan, we'll try to take them in that day. I was going to try to do it this Sunday, but some people couldn't be here. So we'll try to do it all at once because of the summer and with all the holidays coming up. And if it works, then we'll take them in the same Sunday. We normally don't do it that way. So God bless. Let me see. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise for this morning is number 60, Morning Has Broken. Thank you. worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name. You are the God who saves us from our sins. You give us the promise of eternal life. Forgive us for using your name in vain. Forgive us for not believing you love us. Help us to stop our war with friends, family, and neighbors. Show us how to stop the war that rages within us. Give us the strength to have a healthy love for ourselves and others. May we stop doing battle with your will for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take just a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us once again unite in our faith as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day,
take a moment and greet one another. If you don't know someone's name, be sure to ask them.
Something God alone can see. as the last of victory, unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see.
Our responsive reading in the back of your red hymnals, Redemption on 660. Redemption, 660. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. To all who believe, there is no difference.
For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished.
He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies the man who has faith in Jesus.
In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with wisdom and understanding.
For this reason, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that He has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant.
For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers.
But with the precious blood of Christ, amen, without blemish or defect.
Call the elder on the door up.
There are several requests this morning for prayers. Wayne Ruby is in Passavant Hospital and has been diagnosed with diabetes. He was taken by ambulance last evening. We have a prayer request and praise request combined from Ruthie Moll. She is thanking for prayers because she had good test results, and thank you for those who remembered her in their prayers. For Annalise, who's 9 months old, this is from Shawnee, and she's a granddaughter of a friend of theirs. She will be going through chemo because of kidney cancer. We have a request for continued support and success of the Ladies' Monthly Luncheons. And last, we have a request from Patty Hall for Edward Gregory. He's a nephew, and he has a blood clot from his ankle to his hip. He's going to have a procedure on Monday and will be in the intensive care unit for 12 hours to try and help the clot from spreading any further.
Thank you. Add a few things. Sandy Salmon, one of our members, called this morning. A praise report for her son Joseph, who went through two surgeries very well. Her granddaughter Ashley just had a baby girl, so we're thankful for that. Lynn Love sent me an email, said she's very upset. She's got a really bad summer cold. Missed last Sunday and having to miss this Sunday also, and asked for our prayers. Marie Yates is here with us today after missing several Sundays, and her family here with us from Kansas, and we're glad for that. And I know Marie is glad to be home. And Mary Ellen Porter is still at Wexford Home. She'll be there for a while, and hopefully she'll be back to her normal home. Isabel Mellinger is still at St. Margaret's, but she is doing better. Had a long visit with her the other day and was able to talk very well and a good bit stronger than she has been. As you know, the flowers here today are from Virginia Brown funeral that was Friday. And some of you that have been here a long time know her. And some of you know Jay and Karen Hart. It was her mother. And so we'll keep them in prayers. And everyone that's listed on our back of our bulletin and in our newsletter, and in some other situations that are private and personal that God knows about, we want to be lifting those up in prayer also. So as we go to the Lord and lead you into the Lord's Prayer, saying debts and debtors instead of trespasses, let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day. And it is a very beautiful, sunshiny day, but you know, humid, and it just reminds us so much of life. And because one good thing happens, and then something else is not quite perfect, and that's life. Life is never perfect exactly the way that we want it to be. We have our ups and our downs, and sometimes things are just seem to be great, and sometimes they seem to be all the way in the dumps, and we don't know what to do, and then sometimes in that middle range level. We lift all these prayer requests to you, spoken, unspoken, listed in our valley and our bulletin, and asking you to meet these needs according to your love and your mercy, your grace, and your wisdom. We pray and we want things met our way in our time, but help us to have patience and understanding, and that sometimes it takes time and your will to be done. So lead us and guide us. Tell us what we can do to help situations, whether it be spiritual or mental or financial or relationship, whatever it might be. What can we do to help ourselves or to help someone else that is in a situation? And we pray for our church. For love and understanding and forgiveness and mercy. And we pray for continued growth and the good things that you're doing for us and with us. Help us to continue to hear your voice and to grow in numbers and spirit and love and truth and wisdom and understanding of the Word of God and who you are as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. And thank you for Jesus and all the wonderful things that he did and said when he walked upon this earth, and for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn of preparation, a screen song, Shout to the Lord. Let's bow for a word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the cross, what it means to us and for the world, for redemption, for salvation, for forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for calling us into relationship with you and pouring out your Holy Spirit upon your church, giving us gifts to use that we can grow in spirit and wisdom and love and forgiveness and mercy and all the gifts of the Spirit that you have given us for your growth. We can call people into relationship with you. I thank you for the faithfulness of this congregation. Everything that everyone does, Lord, bless them this day and throughout this week and throughout their lives for their gifts. In the precious name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our friend. Amen. Thank you.
Before I begin with the scripture today, I won't be here next week, so I'm asking for a volunteer to let Leonard know that they will be willing to read the scripture next week for him. Anyone can do it. It's easy. He will give you easy words, he promises. Today's scripture is repeated in Luke, Matthew, and Mark. It's about Jesus driving out some demons. But there's some other things that are interesting about this scripture from the standpoint that it's obvious to those that look for it that the man that he drove the demons out of was a Gentile and that he was operating in a Gentile area. For first of all, you notice that there are pigs. The Israelites did not believe in pigs. They didn't take care of them. They didn't pen them. They didn't have them. The other thing is, and I found this only through reading, that they called Jesus the Son of the Most High God, and that's the way that the Gentiles referred to Jesus, or referred to the Jewish God. So both these things indicate that Jesus was working in a Gentile area, and this is perhaps maybe his first convert from the Gentiles to to what would become Christianity. So please listen to your own personal message as we read Luke 8, 26 through 39. They sailed to the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirits to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot, and kept under guard, he had broke his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, "because many demons have gone into him." And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at the feet of Jesus, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demons-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. so he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how God has done, how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. John Killinger tells a story about a man who is all alone in a hotel room in Canada. He's in a state of deep depression. He's so depressed that he can't even bring himself to go downstairs to the restaurant to eat. He's a powerful man, the chairman of a large shipping company, but at the moment he is absolutely overwhelmed by the pressures and the demands of life. And there he lies across his bed, lonely hotel bed, far from home, wallowing in self-pity. All of his life he's been fastidious, worrying about everything, anxious, fretful, always fussing and stewing over every little small detail. Now at midlife, his anxiety has finally gotten the best of him, even to the extent that it is difficult for him to sleep and for him to eat. He worries and he broods, he agonizes over everything in his life, his business, his investments, all the decisions that he makes, his family, his health, even his dogs. Then on this day in his Canadian hotel, he craters, he bottoms out, filled with anxiety, completely immobilized, paralyzed by his emotional despair, unable to leave his room, lying on his bed, he moans out loud, "Life isn't worth living. I wish I were dead." And then he wonders, what would God think if God heard him saying these words? Speaking out loud again, he says, "God, it's a joke, isn't it? Life is nothing but a joke." And suddenly it occurs to this man that it's the first time that he's actually talked to God since he was a little boy. He's silent for a moment, and then he begins to pray. He describes it like this, "I just talked out loud about what a mess my life has been in, and how tired I was, and how much I wanted things to be different, and how much I wanted my life to be better and good. And you know what happened next?" He says, "Well, a voice. I heard a voice. I heard a voice say, it doesn't have to be this way. That's all." He went home and he talked to his wife about what happened. Then he went to talk to his brother who's a minister and asked him, "Do you think that this could actually happen? That God was speaking to me?" And the brother said, "Of course he could have been speaking to you. That is the message to you and to everyone. That's the message of the Bible. That's why Jesus came into the world, to help us, to deliver us, to set us free, to change our lives, to make it better, to plan for us to go to heaven." A few days later, the man called his brother and said, "You were right. It's happened to me. I've done it. I have accepted Jesus and I have had a rebirth in my life. I'm a new man. Christ has turned it all around for me." Well, the man is still prone to anxiety. It didn't take every problem immediately away in his life. He still has to work hard. But he says, "Now I have a source of strength that I did not have before." During the week, he often leaves his work desk and he goes from his office to his church to pray. He sits there alone and he says, "It clears my head. It reminds me of who I am and who I belong to, belonging to God." He said, "Each time as I sit there in the sanctuary, I think back to that day in the hotel room in Canada, and how depressed and lonely and lost I felt. And I hear that voice saying, it doesn't have to be that way anymore." That is precisely what the story in Luke and Mark and Matthew is all about. Christ walks right into the life of this very tormented man, this demonic man, this madman whose life is torn apart at the seams, and he turns it around for him, and he gives him a new beginning, a new start, a new birth. At the beginning of the narrative, it sounds like a horror story, something we would go to the movies to see. This wild-eyed, adrenaline-filled madman comes running and shrieking out of the tomb. He's so unbalanced. He's convinced that he's being held captive by demons. A whole legion, which would be about 100 demons, who are pulling and jerking at him in every direction. His mind is confused. He doesn't know what to do. Has no peace whatsoever. This is an eerie, grim, suspenseful, frightening situation. Jesus and his disciples have just come through the storm on Galilee. It is nighttime, and having survived that frightening storm and so thrilled to have their feet touch solid land and be out of that boat and away from that storm. But as they get out of the boat, they encounter a different type of storm, a different type of experience. They hear strange sounds coming out of the tombs, not just out of somebody's house, but out of tombs. Shrieks, growls, screams, moans, even the rattling of chains. Then suddenly, a horrifying sight. A madman with tattered clothes, bruised, dirty, bloody, with pieces of chains dangling from his arms and from his ankles that he had broken loose from, comes running, comes screaming directly at Jesus and his apostles. How terrifying, how horrifying that could be. Let me ask you a question. What would you have done in that situation? This is a very perilous situation. Blood-curdling moment. A powerful, dangerous, berserk man charging right at them. You never know until you're in the situation. I'd like to think that I would have walked right up beside Jesus and stood there. But I don't know. Maybe I would have run back into the boat and hid under the cover. I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to face it. What would he do to me? Would he tear me apart? Would he leave the rest of them alone and jump on me? But Jesus stood there, held his ground, and he faced the madman. Undaunted, unafraid, Jesus stood there and dealt with this wild man. And what did Jesus do? Jesus healed. Brought peace to a troubled soul. He changed this man forever. He cleansed him. He turned his life around. And you know that, don't you? You know that you're having a problem. You know deep in your heart that Jesus can help you. You know that Jesus can change you. You know that Jesus can get into the middle of a situation and change that situation in your life. We'll point out a few things from the passage. First of all, because many of us do it. We are at war often with ourselves. This madman was at war with himself. He was hurting himself, bruising himself, injuring himself, literally cutting himself. And how often do we do that? Maybe not physically cut ourselves, but we do it with words, maybe. We hurt ourselves, we put ourselves down, we taunt our own selves. I don't know who first said it, but we have met the enemy, and it is us. Watching television the past couple of weeks, all the news, the major news and all the entertainment programs, who are they talking about? Paris Jackson. A beautiful young girl. Rich beyond most of the dreams that you and I can ever even dream of. Intelligent. Famous. but took an overdose and has been cutting herself for a long period of time because she has serious emotional problems and needs help. She needs Jesus in her life to start, but she needs to see a doctor also. One day a young father was shopping in a crowded supermarket. Some of you have been through something like this. His three-year-old son was with him, sitting in that cart. The little boy was riding in the grocery cart and was misbehaving terribly. We've all seen it, been through it yourself. And every time the father put something into the cart, the little three-year-old boy would pick it up and throw it out of the cart. The car went close to the shelves, and the three-year-old boy would just take his hand and just rake everything that he could off the shelves. At one point, the little boy crawled out of the car when his father was looking and started running down the aisles, knocking over every display he could get his hands on, with his father running in hot pursuit. And people were there in the store at the time could hear the father saying out loud over and over, "Just be patient, Tommy. Tommy, it won't be much longer. Tommy, it'll be okay. Tommy, be calm. Tommy, hang in there, Tommy." Finally, a distinguished-looking woman came up to the man and said, "You know, sir, I've just really got to compliment you. I've been watching you, and I want you to know that I admire you so much for your remarkable patience with your little son, Tommy." And he looked at her and said, "Oh, lady, you don't understand. My son is Michael. I'm Tommy." That's really a smart man. Before he works on the son, he's trying to work on himself. Calm himself down so he doesn't do something that he shouldn't do. I can imagine, only imagine his frustration. Some time ago, a young lawyer came to see his pastor, and he was down in the dump at wit's end. He said, "Everything is going wrong. So I've lost confidence in my professional ability. My wife has left me. I can't get along with my children. I'm cut off from my parents, my in-laws, and I'm having conflicts with my coworkers. I've been drinking heavily. Everyone I care about has left me, and I don't blame them. I've been bitter, and I've been hostile for a long time now. I've done so many mean and cruel things, and now I have so many problems." And then he literally said, "My troubles are legion." He paused and took a deep breath, and he leaned forward and he said, "To tell you the truth, I think all these problems and all these symptoms is my real problem. The base of my problem is I do not like myself." And that's everything that we do and that we touch when we don't like ourselves. He was probably right. When we're at war with ourselves, it smudges and distorts every relationship that we're in. On the other hand, when we feel good about ourselves, we're more loving, more patient, more thoughtful, more gracious towards everyone that we come in contact with. Do you want to feel good about yourself? Do you want to like yourself more? Do you want to stop bruising and hurting yourself? Do you want to be at peace within? Then remember this. God wants you to know that you are special to Him. That God loves you as much as He loves anyone else upon the face of this earth. That you are valuable to God. And He claims you as one of His children. And hold on to that. You don't have to be at war with yourself. It serves you no good purpose and it damages people around you. And you don't have to be at war with other people. The madman was very, very much at war with other people. He had been cast out of society, chained, shackled, exiled to the tombs, constantly doing battle with other people. And here's the story. He runs out towards Jesus and his disciples, and he's looking for conflict. He is looking to engage in a fight. Isn't it amazing how crossways and estranged people can get? We look for fight in our homes. We look for fights in traffic. We look for fights at the grocery store sometimes. Once on 2020, they did a program called Neighbors at War, showing neighbors doing battle with one another, fighting, fussing, suing, sometimes even shooting and stabbing one another because of a barking dog or a noisy power tool or a bouncing basketball. When will we ever learn that it's better to befriend someone, to respect someone and to love someone, than to just charge them and fight them and criticize them for what they're doing? A city newspaper had an article, a true story about a man from a wealthy family who was about to graduate from high school. It was a custom of that affluent neighborhood for the parents to give an automobile. Bill and his father spent months going out looking at automobiles, and the week before graduation they found the perfect car. Bill was certain that on graduation night this would be his gift. It would be out in the yard, maybe a bow on it. And after the graduation ceremonies, Bill and his father, you know, came home with the mother, and the father handed Bill, the son, a gift-wrapped Bible. He opened it, saw that it was a Bible. He was so furious, he took the Bible, he threw it to the ground, he walked out of the house, and he never spoke to his parents again for the rest of their lives. They tried to call him. They tried to write. He never opened the letter. When they died, of course, he was inheriting their estate. He came home going through things, and he came across that Bible, and he flipped through it, and out fell a cashier's check, dated for that very day, for the exact price of the car that they had looked at. He'd been at war with his family for absolutely no reason. I hope somewhere along the line after that he picked up that Bible and he began to read it and saw how much he had hurt himself in forgiveness. So sad, so tragic. And last, you don't have to be at war with God. A lot of people are. They're at war with God, blaming God for every bad thing that happens to them, but not giving God credit for the good things that happens. In the scripture, the madman is cut off from God. He asks Jesus, "What do you have to do with me? Don't torment me," he says to Jesus. Carl Moxon, a young theologian who died in a plane crash some years ago, was once told about playing with his young son one afternoon, and they were tussling around, and he accidentally elbowed his son real hard in the face. The little boy stunned by the impact of the elbow, and he was about to burst into tears. Then he looked into his father's eyes, and instead of seeing in his father's eyes like he was angry at him and seeing anger and hostility, he saw sympathy and concern. He saw love and he saw compassion. Then instead of exploding into tears, he exploded into laughter. What he saw in his father's eyes made all the difference in the world. This is the reason Jesus is so important to us. He gives us a glimpse into the Father's eyes. When we look at Jesus, we see what God is like. Jesus shows us the love and compassion, concern, and empathy in the Father's eyes. And that's the good news of our faith. Jesus reveals that God looks at us not with angry, vengeful, condemning eyes, but with eyes of love, compassion, mercy, and forgiveness and understanding. So stop being at war with yourself if you are. Stop being at war with other people. And stop being at war with God. Jesus comes into our lives just as he came into the life of the Legion. And he looks at all of us and he says, "What is your name? What response will you have?" May God bless you. Amen. It's not listed in the bulletin this morning, but we have an installation service for someone who's already been ordained. It'll take a moment. I called Mabe Sasso forward. She's been on the Board of Deacons and came back on later on in the year and just kind of fell through the cracks for a while. But I went through these questions with her, and she doesn't have to ask the questions of somebody that's answered that's coming on for the first time. Do you welcome the work for which you have been chosen, and will you serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love, relying on God's mercy and rejoicing in his promises through Jesus Christ our Lord? And our questions for the congregation, you'll answer, we do.
Do we, members of the church, accept Mabe Sasso as a deacon chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? We do. Do we agree to encourage her to respect her decisions and to follow as she guides us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is the head of the church? We do.
Thank you, Claire. Claire is our clerk of session. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this worship service today, for everyone that is here. We thank you for the Board of Deacons, all the wonderful things that they do and their enthusiasm for serving you and for serving your specific church here at Glenshaw Valley. We thank you for Mabe, her willingness to serve as a deacon. And we thank you for the gifts that you've given her, for her wonderful spirit. We just ask that you would bless her. In the precious name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
This is, I was an illegal deacon for 6 months.
Not exactly. And we'll have you come back after I give the blessing and can welcome you. She asked me if she's been illegal the whole time. Our closing hymn is Jesus' Name Above All Names, 12. Thank everyone for being here. We have some Chicago guests here today, too. Welcome. And thank everyone who comes out to worship. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, I hope that you felt welcomed and loved and accepted by this congregation. But I hope that you feel loved and welcome every day by the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father and by the Holy Spirit. And you feel a part of his wonderful kingdom. And as you leave here, go out into the world, letting people know that you are a child of God, and they can be a child of God, and they can find peace in their lives. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Someone wants some flowers, please help yourself.